It is most of all a country of origin, where victims are trafficked to other parts of the world, to the Gulf region, to Iran, Pakistan, and other countries as well. And most of all, actually internally within Afghanistan. And there are several different forms of exploitation. For example, labor exploitation, sexual exploitation, servitude, domestic servitude. Children are trafficked as child soldiers and so forth. So there are various forms of exploitation from Afghanistan as a country of origin. Afghanistan is also a transit country to a lesser extent, but still. And the destination countries are, for example, Iran and Pakistan. Perhaps from the perspective of the international community, the most tragic thing is that Afghanistan is also a destination country. And there we have a big role to play as the international community. There are women trafficked to Afghanistan for purposes of sexual exploitation. And again, it is our responsibility to tackle that form of trafficking in particular.
I've also been reading reports about fathers who offer their daughters, they basically sell their daughters mm-hmm. into forced marriage mm-hmm. to settle a debt or a dispute. Is this something that you heard about?
Yes, there are many cases that have been reported to NGOs which are working under very, very difficult circumstances, but still doing their best in trying to protect these girls most often. There was, for example, a case that came up very recently. It was an 8-year-old girl who was given or sold by her father to settle debts that the father owned to opium traffickers. So this is really a form of exploitation that exists in Afghanistan that also the Afghan authorities are very, very willing to tackle.
And the fact that these fathers are selling their daughters, do they see this as something bad or is it considered as a crime? Is it even illegal in the country?
It is illegal, certainly, and that's what the legal drafters that I was working with, they also strongly see it as a criminal offence. But still the tradition persists. And thinking of Afghanistan as a mountainous country, it is very, very difficult to eradicate these traditional practices. It is a gender issue. It is linked to a much broader area of concern in Afghanistan.
What about other forms of trafficking? Are women also being forced into prostitution? Are people being forced to do manual labour, for example?
There are various forms of exploitation. As I mentioned, for example, child soldiers. Also dispute settlements, where, again, most often girls are given by their families to settle disputes so that there's no cycle of revenge between the two families. And then the honor of the victim's family is restored. So again, girls are paying the price for any disputes between families. There are more traditional forms of exploitation, such as sexual exploitation, which also exists in Afghanistan. There's labor exploitation, for example, in brick kilns. Those exist where also children are trafficked to.
You also mentioned that people are being trafficked to Afghanistan. Where are these people coming from and what are they forced to do?
People are trafficked to Afghanistan for predominantly sexual exploitation. And there are many Chinese women in Afghanistan, also Tajik women. Those are perhaps the two main groups of women that are trafficked to Afghanistan.
There is currently no specific Afghan law that deals with human trafficking. So does this mean that traffickers can actually be prosecuted?
Traffickers can still be prosecuted, and there have been some cases where the criminal justice system has tried to bring traffickers to justice. But those are individual provisions in the penal code, such as kidnapping or abduction. Those are actually often, in Afghanistan, more often than elsewhere, the form or the means of trafficking. People are abducted for purposes of exploitation more often than in other parts of the world. But there is no law at the present time to deal with trafficking as a whole, as a phenomenon.
But a law is currently being drafted. When will this law be in place?
I don't know when this law will be in place, but the legal drafters who are working on it have made considerable progress. they are really doing a good job on putting this law in place. Of course, then it depends on the parliament when they are ready to ratify the law and when it will enter into force.
Now, this brings me to the purpose of your mission to Afghanistan. You were there to assist with the drafting of this new law. Tell me about this work.
Well, we had a four-day workshop with the legal drafters where we went through the phenomenon of human trafficking, the different control mechanisms, the different victim support mechanisms that should be in place when tackling human trafficking and so forth. We went through all these different aspects of human trafficking and together drafted some proposed wording for a law.
What is the actual level of awareness of human trafficking among the general public? Do they know what human trafficking is? Do they know that it exists in their country?
There are many traditional practices which can qualify as forms of human trafficking, and there is no awareness of those actually fulfilling the elements of trafficking. So a lot of awareness raising is needed. That was also something that we discussed during the workshop there. People are not knowingly committing a crime. They are just not aware that they are doing something that is criminal.
Now, if you take all this into account, even when the law is in place, will it really change anything, especially for the victims?
For the victims, yes, I'm confident that it will, because some victim protection and assistance provisions will be included. On the other hand, something that we also discussed during the workshop is that a lot of awareness raising is needed among the general public to eradicate some of these traditional practices, which actually are forms of human trafficking.
Now, are victims actually coming forward? Because I know this is the big problem with the prosecution of traffickers. The victims either are too scared to speak out or too traumatized, or maybe in this case, they don't actually know that a crime was committed.
That is very true, what you said. And victims are not willing to come forward. Also, there are very few NGOs which are working with victims of human trafficking, which are providing any type of assistance to victims. So a lot remains to be done. But those NGOs, I must say, I have really great respect for those NGOs because they are working under difficult, dangerous circumstances. Their security is threatened on a continuous basis. They still continue doing what they're doing, assisting victims of human trafficking.